love Him this morning. Amen. It's so good to be here with you all once again. Amen. We just want to do what we do best. Amen. We just want to give God some glory this morning. Welcome Him in our presence. And amen. I just pray that He changes your life. Just reach out to Him this morning. Amen. As we sing, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care through your precious blood. I found pardon and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away. No one knew how alone I was feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I lacked, said my life was fine without you, I was covering up the secret tears I cried. And then one day someone told me of your mercy, how you called Calvary. Oh, there you die, purchase my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you are washed. Oh, they're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away. Yes, it's true, there have been days when I failed you. Oh, Lord, you know the many times I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness, and your ear is open every time I pray. See, no one else ever cared for me like you, Lord, and other friends could never be as close to me. I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow, knowing you are everything I'll ever need. Sing it now. Oh, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Sins are washed, oh, they're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed. Let's sing it again now. Oh, yes, I'm amazed how you love me. I'm amazed at how you care. Precious blood, I found pardon, and my sins are washed. Oh, they're all washed away. Oh, my sins washed away. Amen. Why don't you give him some praise this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to pick it up here just a little bit. Key of F. Jesus, hold my hand. Amen. Let's sing it together now.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Oh, he leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. Well, now this would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need the light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour while through this pilgrim land. Protect me by the saving power. Hear my feeble plea. Dear Lord, look down on me. And while I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Well, let me travel to the light divine, that I may see the blessed way. Oh, keep me that I may be wholly thine and sing redemption song someday. Oh, now I will be a soldier brave and true and never take a firm stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Come on now. Well, Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Well, through this pilgrim land, protect me by my feeble plea. Dear Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. And when I wander through the valley, dim toward the setting of the sun, oh, lead me safely to a land of rest if I a crown of life have worn. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Sing it now. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. While through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy saving power. Hear my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Amen. Let's praise him some more. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song when we all get to heaven.
Sing the one.
That may be a little high on that one.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, his what's the play when we all get to heaven? What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory while we walk the pilgrim pathway. Clouds will overspread the sky, but when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. So let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the tolls of life repay. Oh, when we all, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. So onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Oh, when we all, we get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Oh, You're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That just excites me, friends. Hallelujah. I hope it can be like this one day. Everybody gathered together early in the morning, praising God, hands raised and lifted. One day we'll just be in glory. Oh, my. That makes me excited. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing one more. We'll change the order of our service. Take our prayer request. You deserve the glory.
You deserve the glory and the honor.
I want you to sing it with all your hearts now. Let's just praise Him.
Oh, we lift our hands in worship as we lift Your holy name.
Just let go of everything.
You deserve the glory. Oh, and the honor.
Oh, You're worthy, Lord Jesus.
Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift Your holy name. For You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like You. Oh, there is no one else like You. For
Can play that softly as we mentioned some special needs here. I want to pray for Sister Mary Smith. She's suffering with a vascular headache. She has a doctor's appointment on Tuesday. So let's remember Sister Mary Smith in prayer, suffering with this terrible headache, and pray that God would give her a good report from the doctor. Man, we know God can touch her and heal her of that condition. Amen. I want to remember Brother David Stevens' mother in prayer. Also want to remember Sister Anna Pritchard and the babies. I think they're here today, but they're dealing with some sickness. So let's remember the family in prayer. Amen. I want to remember the Buchanan family. Also want to remember Sister Jessie Cockman. I believe she is traveling from a recent visit with some family members. So let's remember her in prayer. We have a special offering this morning is going to be our mission offering. Amen. And that's going to be for the expansion of the church in Tanzania, Brother Elias Church. Amen. Let's remember that in prayer. Amen. We want to just give as unto the Lord and support the ministry wherever we can support them around the world. Amen. And that's one of the great things I love about this church and the things that we do. I just love being able to, you know, I could never be out in the mission field. That's just not my calling, amen. And I have great, tremendous respect for those people that spread the gospel in those areas. And so I want to support them wherever I can, amen. Amen. That's all that I have at this time. Let's all stand. Do we have any unspoken prayer requests by uplifting your hands? Amen. Brother David, would you come at this time and take these needs before the Lord?
Bow our heads. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for such another wonderful day, dear Lord, to enter into your house, dear Lord, with believers of like precious faith, dear Lord. But we come, we are needy people, dear Lord. It says many are the afflictions of the righteous, dear Lord. So we have so much need among us, dear Lord. Just be with those that are sick, dear Lord. My precious mama, dear Lord, just be with her. And if it be your will, just give her a touch from you. And all the others that are sick, Sister Mary Smith, dear Lord, just give her a touch in this special time of year, dear Lord. Those that are traveling, dear Lord, those that are working long to be here with us, dear Lord. We pray for the rest of the song service, dear Lord, that it just be a sweet savor in your ear, dear Lord. And just bless the word as it comes forth, dear Lord. Just let Brother Barry get out of the way, dear Lord, and just be a tool in your hands, and knowing our ears to hear and our eyes to see what we're needing to see, dear Lord. And all these things we ask in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, Brother David. You can have your seats. And I don't have any specials at this time, so we'll just sing a few before we have the pastor come out. I wonder, could we sing that song, The Power of Your Love? Lord, I come to you, let my mind be changed and renewed, flowing from the grave that I found in you. Lord, I've come to as I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love, and hold me close, let your love surround. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes, let me see you face to face, knowledge of your love. As you live in me, and Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day. The power of your love. Let's stand and sing together. Oh, hold me close, let your love surround me. Oh, bring me near, draw me to your side. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on through the power of your love. Let our deacons come forward at this time. Man, we're going to take up our morning offering. Amen. Just be mindful that this is for our mission offering this morning. Amen. Brother Andy, if you would lead us in prayer, brother. Amen. Sing this song with me. I give my mind.
I give my mind completely to you, Lord. Fill me with your thought. Make it all brand new. Change my life. Let me live and know that's true. I just want to think like you. So take me and mold me. Teach me to be still. Lead me and guide me. Show
the Lord. You may be seated just for a moment this morning. God bless you all. It is an honor to have you all in the house of the Lord. Certainly good to see all of you, and I don't want to miss anybody, so I'm just going to say God bless you all. That's the best thing I can say. So we're honored to have all of you with us today. Let me just say on behalf of the people of Tanzania, before Sister Rebecca comes and sings, that they appreciate the monies that are brought over. They probably will never be able to shake your hand on this side, but I will guarantee you that if you're sitting in the hot African sun every service, and then you get a church expansion that allows you to have a seat inside, they thank you. That makes a lot of difference. We're blessed, and they're blessed. Because they have the message of the hour. They're blessed. But in whatever way we can help them, I think that's a good thing. And so I appreciate that on their behalf. The other thing is I want to mention that as far as the Vision Books is going, it's to me it's happening at an unprecedented pace and an impressive pace. We're putting updates on our website. So you ought to go there and just take a look and see things that are being posted there, and I asked, didn't expect to get, but I asked for photographs of the actual printing in China, and they sent them to me. I was quite surprised, and they're on the website, so this is really great. The problem with tariffs in our country now is a big deal. However, because we're not shipping to the U.S., we avoid that 25% extra. If we ship these books here and then ship them somewhere else, we'd have to pay an extra 25%. And because we're shipping them directly from China or India directly to Africa or South America, wherever it is, there's no tariffs at all involved. So it's just been a blessing all the way around that we are able to avoid that and to be able to produce things so rapidly and so cheaply. So we're thankful for that. Let's have Sister Rebecca sing.
I know what it's like to think I know what it's like to really talk to Him with nothing in between. Do you know what it's like when the day comes to an end, to sleep at peace because your heart is clean? Do you know what it's like when the accuser comes your way, to look Him squarely in the eye with confidence and say, He has forgiven me, my sins have been washed from His memory by the blood.
Take your Bible this morning. Let's read from the Scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll let you take your seats then, but let's just read first while you're standing this morning. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. We are always blessed to have her come and sing. She's one of my three favorite daughters in grace. They're not daughters-in-law, they're daughters in grace, and appreciate them and all my grandchildren being here today. That's special. I'll be leaving right after service today, right from pulpit to chauffeur. And my chauffeur is supposed to be here somewhere to take me. We hope he shows up. Take me directly to Charlotte and off to Nairobi, Kenya. And so if you don't mind remembering that, by around 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, that should be the end of traveling, I think, but the time difference, about 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So we'd appreciate you just remembering that in prayer. Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'd like for us all to read verse 6, if you don't mind. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Here's a couple of reminders, and I put this word, the definition by Webster of the word notice, on the bottom of this. It's the fact of observing or paying attention to something. Last week I put this up there, and I had the wrong date for the men's meeting. And I notice no one noticed. So this is the correct date, correct times. Brother and sister Florian have an anniversary, right? This today. Happy anniversary. How many years? 7 years. That's a good number. Brother Denny, God bless you. We are honored to have you and your wife and family with us. Also, the males have an anniversary today. How many years? 7 years? Really? Do you know each other? Yes, we can. So, you can buy each other lunch today. God bless you both. We appreciate the males being with us, and we're honored to have them here. Somebody's birthday on May 20th. Trinity. God bless you. Good to have you. How old are you? 13. Really? Wonderful. God bless you. I just wanted to say, Brother Ernie, I was here late last night. I was the barista yesterday. We had a wonderful day at the mother's tea. And it was just a blessing to be among all the sisters. And it was really, it was a blessing. It was just really nice. And somebody paid me a compliment yesterday, and I'd just like to repeat it because I think it's true, that it's just nice to be a part of an assembly where everybody likes to be together. And then afterwards, we had our family gather, and we had a little simple meal yesterday. And they said, after all day being together, we still wanted to be together with the family. And I take that as a real compliment because I think that's the way it should be. We just enjoyed being together and sharing our time together. Now, I said something wrong. What did I say wrong? What? It's a blessing to be able to be together. So, God bless you all. Let's take a look in the Word this morning and just trust that the Lord will help us today. Wednesday night we talked a little bit about this subject of end time faith and what the Holy Spirit does for us. There are many things that the Holy Spirit does for us. There are many things that that He does that sometimes we don't even have a sense of. We don't have a real realization of because it happens subtly and it happens in the process of things. And yet, over time, over the period of our Christian experience, over time, there's something building, something going on, just very similar to how the bones grow in the womb of a mother. It doesn't all happen overnight. It happens over a period of time. It happens over a season. And all of a sudden you realize we're at a point where something's going to happen. Something's going to break forth. Something's going to give. And I really believe that when it comes to the Christian faith and even the Christian church through the ages, it's been like that. God's been adding all the time, just adding line upon line, here a little and there a little. Not here a lot, but here a little and there a little. And then there comes junctions of times where God flashes and God does something dramatic and lets everybody know, everybody who has ears to know, that we're turning a corner. And in times like that, it takes a special kind of faith, not only to catch what God is actually saying, but also to be able to move with the movement of God, to be able to keep pace with God. And that's a very, very selective or an extraordinary thing, because most people in most ages recognize what God has done and look forward to what God is doing. But to keep pace with what God is actually unfolding, and to keep pace with what God is actually doing at the moment, that takes a special understanding. That special understanding is not given to you it's not something that's derived or acquired. It's not something that you get simply by coming to church often enough. Revelation comes from God. So he has his hand on the valve. He has his hand on the nozzle. And he's the one who turns it. And to have a revelation of the timing of God and the the place where you are in the timeline of God, and to know that is absolutely a tremendous thing. It's likened to someone like Enoch, who knew somehow inherently, he knew that there was something going to take place. He knew he was at the end time of this judgment cycle, and now there was going to be a transition. Hannah and Simeon in the temple, they knew. They had a revelation. They didn't have any physical something they could see by their senses, but they just knew that they would not die until they saw the Lord's Christ. And they were right, because they were operating by faith or by revelation. God had to give that to them. There had not been anything happen until 400 years, and John the Baptist arrives here, and then all of a sudden, when Jesus appears, Simeon said, "I told you so. I just knew this. I knew this was going to happen." And faith is a sure thing. So there's many things that the Holy Spirit gives to us that we refer to it, because Brother Branham referred to it, as a work of the Holy Spirit. It is an endowment of the Holy Spirit, something that he gives. And he's actually more impressed with your concerns than even you are yourself. He's more in tune with what's going on in your life than even you are yourself. For those of you that assume that you can hide things and you can keep things away from everybody, including the Holy Spirit, I have news for you this morning. I have good news for you. He's the one who knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. And therefore, there's nothing that's hidden from God, and absolutely nothing that's hidden from God. So the promise is that anything that you have need of, anything that you have need of, say it with me, anything that you have need of, no matter what it is, if it's sickness, you have need of healing. If it's trouble, you have need of relief. If you're weary and bothered, you have need of peace. Come on now. If your marriage needs a little boost, let me tell you, there's help for that. If your finances need a little discipline, there's help for that. You see, now, he said it's a work of the Holy Spirit. He does this. He brings us into order. He brings us to where we ought to be. On Wednesday night, I put my jacket on Lincoln over here, and it didn't fit him. But when God put the mantle of Elijah over on Elisha's shoulders, it didn't fit him. But God shaped Elijah to fit the mantle. He didn't shape the mantle to fit Elijah. So therefore, God knows, God believes in the future even more than you do. He believes in what you're becoming even more than you do. He believes in your potential. He knows your potential even more than you do. I've said many times before in illustration that if you take an apple and you cut it open, you can count the seeds. But only God can look at the seed and count the apples. You can cut open the apple and count the seeds, but only God can look at a seed and count the apples. So therefore, God looks at you, and you might in your own view of yourself, you may see limitations and you may see a lack of potential. But when God looks at you, he sees all of the things that you will be, all of the things that you will become. And sometimes it's extraordinary why God even bothers with us, but he knows what's in us. And that's what makes the difference. So Brother Branham said, he does this. The Holy Spirit brings us into order. The Holy Spirit brings us into our place. It's not an emotional, thing. It's solid. It's deep. It's not fanatical. It's not formal. It's love that draws and constrains us. So it's a wonderful thing. Now, let me just say this. We've talked about faith a lot here over the last little while. I've just kind of given it a generic title here, referring to end time faith. But I just want to, in particular, just say that there is a prayer of faith that we pray many times, and we look for God to do something quickly, and he does. There are times when we lay hands on people. Last week we had one of the little children came up, had a fever, really burning hot, at the end of service here last Sunday, and came up to the altar there, and I laid my hands on her. And by the time we got to dinner, the fever was broken. And we thank God for that. And many times that happens, and I believe that God can do that. Do you believe that God can do that? Sure he can. There are other times when there's a delay. There's other times when we pray for something and nothing seems to happen. We believe that God's heard our prayer, but nothing seems to happen at the moment. And I refer to that as a delay, but I need you to understand there's a very distinct purpose in the delay. Many times when God does not answer prayer immediately, just like the first example I gave, it's because that God's building character. One of the things that God wants to do is to test or gauge your response to a prayer of faith, even if nothing happens. In other words, are you still going to believe that God heard your prayer and that God's going to do something? And in that process, you know, sometimes people will say, well, if God doesn't do this by Tuesday, then I'm out. I'm going to bring all my spoken word books and give them to Brother Barry, and that's it. I'm over. It's out. I'd be very restrained about hinging everything on your timeline with God, on your demands with God. The best thing you can do, rather than bring your spoken word books here and lay them at my door, take your request and lay them at the altar. And bring yourself with it. Because, let me tell you, God has a time, God has a method, God has a way, God's doing things in our lives, and very often it is to build that character of strength that He needs to see in us, that no matter what happens, good or bad, whether God moves fast or slow, or whether God moves according to my prayer or not, He's still God. And He wants us to say that. But I'd like to say that there's another element of faith that sometimes we don't like to talk about even, and that is what I'm going to call enduring faith. Enduring faith is a very special thing. Many false prophets shall arise, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. The ones who endure are the ones who truly will be saved. That's God's fingerprint. He put His fingerprint on that. Those that endure. Let's look at what endure means. Very simply, it is the word hupemeno. And it means to remain and not recede or flee. It means to remain somewhere. God's placed you in a certain situation. There is a ground for you to stand on. Then no matter how difficult things get, I'm not going to recede. I'm not going to retreat. I'm not going to fade in battle. I'm going to stay right where I'm placed. It means to persevere under misfortunes and trials, to hold fast to one's faith in Christ, and to bear bravely and calmly, even in the face of ill treatment. Do we all know what ill treatment means, or do I need to define that one? We all know what ill treatment means. That's kind of contrary to the mindset of Laodicea, because in Laodicea, everyone has people's rights, and we want to make sure that there's justice done at every turn. When there's some kind of wrong or some kind of, maybe someone has accused me of something, or maybe, some way I've been cheated or affected by things that people have said, hey, I want to have justice and I want to have it right now, and I'll do whatever it takes, as I've got Google, and I can find answers, and I can find free legal help and free legal answers and everything else. Now, I'm not saying that you should be just walked over continually, but what we are doing is we're standing the ground that God has placed us on, standing on the promises that God's made real to us, realizing that we have a more permanent kingdom that we're going to. Let me tell you, there will come a time, I believe, I really do believe, when they will shut down what we enjoy in this assembly. They'll shut down our church. You know, the law of the eminent domain has already passed. They have the means to affect other things that we do in other parts of the world, and printing or sending money. I'm already labeled by one money transfer company. I've sent so much money overseas over the years that I can't do it anymore. They've kind of labeled my number. When I type in my phone number, they that's that guy, and they think I'm funding things that are maybe questionable. I'm not. Some of you are looking at me saying, whoa, I didn't know this about Brother Barry. I'm not. But that's just the way the world works. And they've made decisions about me. They've made decisions about my account. And somewhere, there's a screen somewhere that flashes up when my number comes on and a big red X across it, or targets and so forth. And it's no more accessible to me. It's a very we walk a very thin line in our time. We enjoy the freedom of the Holy Spirit. How many have enjoyed the presence of the Holy Spirit here already today? I mean, it's just a blessed thing. But I will tell you, we are walking a very thin line within this nation here. We are not far removed from restrictions that can be placed upon us and the freedoms that we enjoy. And that's maybe the subject of another sermon here. But Jesus is saying that in the end time, there will be the false teaching. There will be false teachers among you, false teachers outside, and they shall deceive many. They will not just be false teachers with another opinion, but the power of deception will be in their hand. So they will be able to deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now let me say this, and this may be kind of like nails on a chalkboard or ham sandwiches at a bar mitzvah, but let me say this. When they talk about equality and freedom and so forth, you know, in our time, and everybody's got to be on the same page and everything else, there's a case that went all the way to the Supreme Court about that baker out there in the West who refused to bake a wedding cake for a gay wedding. You remember that story? And went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they won the case. You had to wonder, what if I went into a T-shirt maker, and he happened to be Muslim? And I wanted to put a slur against Muhammad on my T-shirt. Do you think that the courts of the land would, how would they react to that? Or when you start to think about the other things that you could imagine, other faiths and people would rise up and say, oh no, you can't slur somebody's faith like that. It's okay to slur Christian faith, but you can't slur other people's faith. Or if I made a comment about, you know, the homosexual world or something, and I wanted to, make a banner and put it out in front of our church. Oh, no, you absolutely can't do that. Now, they can say whatever they want to about our church or our faith, right? But it's not equal. I want to assure you it's not equal. And it's not equal because it's a spirit. We're dealing with spiritual warfare here. And Jesus said that the enemy has come that he might steal and destroy and kill. That's the fingerprints of Satan that are all over this last day's move and the last day's battles that we fight. It's his fingerprints that are all over this. Because he's not, he may not necessarily be trying to burn down the church, at least yet. But I will tell you something, he's out to do everything he can to destroy the credibility of the Bible. And destroy the credibility of the testimony of Christian people. And this is the age that we live in because iniquity shall abound. And a lot of people in the world are not going to take up your cause because they don't care. The iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. The love is not so much the love between people, although that does change in the last days, as we find in the days of Noah, when they were marrying and giving in marriage and so forth. But it's also the love for good things. It's the love for moral principles and moral boundaries. But Jesus is saying that in the midst of that, when all of that happens, and in the last days, when all of these things come and deception abounds, and people who don't care are all around you, then there will be a people who will stand there and endure. And he that endureth shall be saved. Can I have a few minutes on this word endure? Romans chapter 12, Paul's giving us instructions here for those that are transformed. He says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, and patient. And that word patient is the Greek word enduring in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Kind of tucks it in right there in verse 12 that the people of God who are possessed with the Holy Spirit, they should actually be patient in tribulation. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, then he will also deny us. If we suffer, if we go through trials, we go through difficulties, he says, we shall also reign with him. How many believe that God is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? We endure all things, Paul said, for the elect's sake, that we might obtain something, that we might obtain the reward. And that's why it makes it, in a sense, it makes it a little easier to go through the process of enduring and to stand your ground, because you know that not only does God see it, but that God has something better for you on the other side. On the other side of that trial, on the other side of that pressure, on the other side of that tribulation, there's a reward that God has for us over here. And Paul says, it's the salvation which is in Christ with eternal glory. God has eternal rewards stacked up for the people of God that endure the times that we live in. Hebrews chapter 10. Do you mind taking your Bible? Let's take a look here, if you don't mind. Hebrews chapter 10. I'd just like to read a couple of verses here, and these are worth looking at. Otherwise, I wouldn't have you turn. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. Paul reminds the Hebrew church here. He says, call to remembrance the former days. In other words, recollect. You need to remember and ponder. those days in which you were illuminated, or you began, the light came to you, and you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. Your initial experience, the early days when you first came into the faith and you were illuminated, you saw a great light, you endured a great fight of affliction. The atmosphere in the early church was not always one of ease. It was not always one where everybody patted you on the back because you were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said you endured that. You stood still whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. My goodness. There it is again, that he's a rewarder, that you go through things. The Holy Spirit's operating through you correctly, and you are doing the right things. You are yielding yourself to the right one to do the right things, to care for Paul and to be able to expend yourselves and give of yourselves in order to see the kingdom of God move forward. And that's something you're passionate about. It's something you love to do. And he says you did that because you know that, you know what, if I lose everything in this life, I've gained it all in the next world to come. And if all of it's taken away from me in this life, I've still got riches untold in the other world. And if I can't see any of my possessions anymore, and I don't see my new car, and I don't see my new house or whatever else, I see by faith something invisible that, the world doesn't see. I see a new body on the other side. Why? Because the Word testifies of it. I see a mansion on the other side, not because I can see it with my eye, but because the Word testifies of it. I'm looking at the Word and seeing the invisible on the other side, and it's real to me. It's something that motivates me to be able to give and to live and to submit myself to Christ on this side. So he says, therefore, 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. This is enduring faith. The promise is that he will come again, but he hasn't come yet. Are you with me? Paul is saying to them, yet a little while. We don't know how long that is. And he that shall come and will not tarry. We all want to know when. We all want to know, all right, tell me exactly when this is going to happen. Some of you are type A's like myself, and we like to know, okay, give me the time frame. I got to get it in my mind, and I'm okay. You know, I took my grandkids out for a date. We went out for dinner the other day. And some of the fast eaters ate fast, and some of the little ones didn't eat so fast. And I said, let's finish up. And they said, is this enough? And I said, no, just a little more. How much is a little? I said, well, a little is a few bites. How much is a few? Just a couple. What's a couple? I said, you win. You win. We like to know. Our mindset is fixed on having, you know, definite parameters or definite boundaries of things. We like to know. Paul says, yet a little while. He that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. God will not be late, but he may not come in the time we know, because it's not given the man to know. But we will endure until that time, is what he's telling them. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, that's the opposite of enduring, isn't it? Enduring means to stand. We're going to stand there. We're going to stand solid. We're not going to fade in the time of battle or stress or persecution. We're not going to do that. When somebody fades back, they're pulling back from the front line. Hey, it's a great place to be on the front line. It's an exciting place to be on the front line. Let me just add this little part here. Whether you realize it or not, we're on the front line. We're on we're on the cutting edge. We are the people that God has assembled in the last day to be on the ground that's near the finish line, just ready to cross over. We don't know how long, but God will take us all over. You know what? All of the living in that day will all cross over together. There'll not be ministers cross over first or men cross over. There won't be that way. I believe we'll all go together. We shall all be changed. Paul says, I'll show you a mystery. He says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Meaning that everybody goes together. And Paul is saying, therefore, cast not away your confidence then, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while he shall come, that he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. This is enduring faith here. Verse 39. But we are not of them that draw back. Say it with me. We are not of them that draw back. Say it with a little more passion. We are not of them that draw back. I think it's a great thing to preach to a group of people that are not going to be turned away because you preach the word. I remember one time at a winter youth retreat, we were woken up at night, and there was, you know, the counselors came to Sister Becky and I and said, "Hey, we need to help. This girl wants to leave camp. She wants to go. She wants to quit and leave." It's like 1 o'clock in the morning or something. And they said, "Yeah, really?" So we got up and we sat down and talked with her. I'm paraphrasing the story. We got up there and she was saying, "No, I want to leave. I want to go. I want to. That's it. It's over." Anyway, she just wanted to go, and I said, "Okay, listen, if you don't mind, before you go, if you really want to go, I said, give me your Bible, give me your books, give me all your message stuff, and leave it with me, and then you can go." She said, "I can't do that." I said, "What do you mean you can't do that? You want to quit? You want to walk away?" She said, "But I don't want to give away my Bible. I believe my Bible, and I like to keep my books." She had a couple of books with her, and I said, "I'd like to keep the books." I said, "So it's not, you mean you don't believe?" "Oh," she said, "I do believe. I do. I believe God. Yes, sir. I have a confidence in God. Believe the message. Yes, sir." I said, "Well, what are you leaving for?" And the leaving was much more for a personal reason than a spiritual reason. And I'll tell you something. There is something about a child of God. They can't leave. They can't walk away. We might be upset with a certain situation. We might be upset with a certain condition that we face in life. There might be circumstances that we really don't enjoy and have been imposed upon us. But I will tell you something. A real son of God, a real daughter of God has got the goods. They endure. And you can try to shake them off. Like Brother Bram said about those old Texas, thoroughbreds out there, those cows. He said they let them go through the winter. And he says, you know, they'll come back in the springtime on a horse and they'll start rounding them up. And they're up in the woods and up in the hills. And, they're kind of holed up somewhere else. But you know what? They keep emerging every spring. They keep coming back because they're thoroughbreds. They don't just fade. They don't have to have antibiotics and vitamins and special feed and special shelter and certain, climate control temperatures and everything else. They're the real McCoy. I think I'm talking to the real McCoy this morning. Those are people of God. They don't need to be petted and babied and, given special shots and special places and, positions in the church and compliments all the time and shaking hands with the pastor or they go away disgruntled. Let me tell you, a real thoroughbred's going to stay with the word no matter what. Even when churches mess up and ministers mess up and things go haywire, they're going to stay there with the word because it's not them. It's something in them that holds them to the Word of God. It binds them to Christ. And it's going to hold them in place. That's enduring faith. The Bible also says in Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to flip over to it, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Paul seems to be very direct here, and he's very encouraging. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith, not looking unto our retirement, or not looking unto our church, or looking unto our minister, but he says, looking unto Christ. Our eyes always had to be focused on Christ, who for the joy that was set before him, and this is Jesus' testimony, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down in the right hand of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. If there was anybody who deserved justice, it was Jesus. If there was anybody who deserved a day in court, it was Jesus. If there was anybody who should have had some sort of retribution, let me tell you, it would have been Jesus. But you know what he did? He died there in agony on the cross and opened his arms and said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And he says, "You think of that, lest you be wearied and faint in your own minds." James 1, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." How many believe God's a rewarder? James 5, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and affliction of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. And ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You have not been treated like Jeremiah was treated when, the people disagreed with his word and threw him down in a well and left him there. Or when they took the Apostle Paul and put him down to prison, the Mamertine prison in Rome, and put him down in there. I've been down in the Mamertine prison. You can't stand up there. You have to crick your head like this because it's not 6 feet tall. It's just a little hole in the rock. They hew out a little cavern there, and they lower the prisoners down on a rope, and there's no way. And they put a grate across the top of it, an iron grate across the top, and all you can have is a little bit of air in there. There's really nothing except water that's gone bad and critters that love bad water. And Brother Branham actually went there to Rome and got lowered down in the same hole. And when he got down there, they said he knelt down and prayed. And he said, this is the one place, he said, I know where the first and last church age messenger actually stood. And he actually picked up Paul's spirit and said, this is the place where they lowered Paul. And we think of the college campuses now that are called prisons today. Let me tell you, it was not like that back in Paul's day. And yet Paul says that, he says, we have heard of the patience of the Lord. In other words, when we think about the persecutions and the trials that other people have gone through in other eras, and he says, James says, you've heard of the patience of Job, the endurance that Job had, that ability to hang on, even if he didn't see the results and have seen the end of the Lord. Job did not see Jesus resurrect, although he had a revelation of it, and he went to his grave believing that even if I don't see it, it's true nonetheless. You believe God's word?
Amen.
Believe the Bible?
Amen.
Believe Brother Branham's a prophet?
Amen.
All right, here's what he said. O little flock, do not fear. This age is fast closing. As it does, those tares will be bound together. And as a threefold cord is not easily broken, they, the world, and the powers of the world, he said, they will have a tremendous threefold strength of political, physical, and spiritual or satanical power, and they will seek to destroy the bride of Christ. Let me say that part again. They will have a tremendous threefold strength, and that'll be a religious power. It'll be religious fulfillment, using governments and using authorities and so forth. But the spirit behind it is a religious spirit. They will have a threefold strength of politics, the physical, in other words, the right to throw you in jail, the right to close your doors and so forth, the right to take your property, and spiritual or satanic power. And they will seek to destroy the bride of Christ. Satan's fingerprints all over this, right? Because that's his purpose, to kill, destroy, right? So this is him. She will suffer, but she will endure. Let me assure you, the suffering that I believe he's talking about is more than just not getting good reception on your cell phone. She will suffer, but she will endure. God will never give you more than you can bear. He comes close, but he'll never give you more than you can bear. She will suffer, but she will endure. Fear not those things that are coming upon the earth. For he who loveth his own loveth them unto the end. John chapter 13. What's the consolation here? The consolation, again, and I'm sorry to be repetitive, the consolation is the reward that follows them that endure. For he that endureth shall be saved. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 24, right? The consolation, the determination we have is not based on whether the people troubling me will receive justice. In this world, they probably will not. But in the world to come, God has something better for you than this world. And even if I don't see fire fall on their heads, even if I don't see my day in court, I have something better on the other side. I have a more enduring substance on the other side. Do you understand what I'm saying? That the Christian is motivated not by earthly justice, but a Christian is motivated by the promise of reward that's found in God's word. You say, well, it's not fair. Hey, there's a lot of things in this life that are not fair, but this isn't my world. Well, I have my rights. Well, really? In the words of somebody here, really? Really, you don't, because you surrendered your rights when you came to Calvary and embraced the cross. You surrendered your life, your rights, all of it, everything, your whole, everything you are, you surrendered when you came to Calvary. And so when I look in the bag of what I have, what I possess, I really don't have much. I just have His love. I just have His grace. I just have His blood. I just have His forgiveness. I just have eternal life. I just have some things like that. Which I don't mean to trivialize. You understand what I'm saying? But what I don't have is the right to smack somebody on the cheek when they smack me on the cheek. I'm supposed to turn the other one. When somebody asks me to go a mile, then we go another mile, right? Jesus gave us these instructions that sometimes are hard. They're hard to bear. But nonetheless, they're His. They're words in red. So we got to pay attention to them. Brother Bam says, she will suffer, but she will endure. I just need to remind you of this, if you don't mind. In Psalm 119, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So if God made a promise, it's going to be around forever. How many can say amen? Psalm 135, thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. How many can say amen? Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. And the name of the Lord endureth forever. It doesn't fade. That God's place of safety for the bride of Christ, it does not fade away. It doesn't diminish. It's there forever. You always have a place to turn. You always have a place to point other people to. You always have a place to go yourself and to find a shelter of the Almighty. Psalm 136, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. In other words, it's available today. Brother Bram said Abraham could not explain it. He'd go to the doctor and he'd say, Doc, is it possible for me to have a child? The doctor would say, it's impossible. But in Romans chapter 4, the Bible says, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong giving praise to God, for he endured as seeing Him who is invisible and was satisfied, and he held on. I like that line. He endured as seeing Him who is invisible and was satisfied, and he held on. He was satisfied because he had a strong enough revelation that he could believe in and see in his heart the God who made the promise, and that God never failed him. That God never told him anything that was untrue. That God performed everything that He ever said to Abraham. And if God did it then, God's going to do it now, because God doesn't say things that are wrong. And that's how he endured, holding fast. For he was fully persuaded that what God promised, God was able to do. And we're supposed to be His children. Oh, how he proved it. After all those years, he turned Abraham and Sarah back to young man, and they had the baby. It did come to pass after all of those years, and they waited and they waited. It was not an instantaneous thing. And God didn't say, Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a child. Bang, here's the child. No, it took 25 years or so before they actually had the child and their bodies were changed and so forth. But Abraham grew stronger. Even as his body was weakening, his faith was rising. In the end, it was just his body. When you're 99 years old and you're talking about having a family, then it's just faith. It's not physical anymore. Somebody say amen. It's just faith now. It's not anything that Abraham could do in himself, and it's not anything Sarah could ever do. But now his faith is rising and he's standing there believing, yes, sir, I believe it's going to come to pass. And finally, God did. That, my friend, is enduring faith. That is enduring faith. Now, I wish I could jump around here for just a moment here. Let me just focus in for a moment here, all right? Everybody okay? If you need a drink, I got two. I'm going to keep one. You can have one of these. Brother Branham makes a couple of statements here that I just want to remind you of, that there's nothing he said that you could do. The law condemned us. It was touch not, handle not, taste not, keep Sabbaths, new moons, and so all forms of worship that men did. But in this new and living way, he said, there's nothing that we can do. It's what he does for us by grace. It's what he does in us. It's what we yield ourselves to and the Holy Spirit does through us. We just accept it. Christ takes away the sin. We believe it. Christ takes away your sin. We just believe it. We accept it. And if we truly accept it from the depths of our heart, you don't have to do anything. You just have to accept what He's done. And then He gives you a reward. Figure that out. What kind of a rewarder is He? This is a very gracious rewarder. I'm going to do something for you. Do you believe it? Yes. Let me give you a reward for believing what I'm going to do. That's pretty good. So if we accept it from the depths of our heart, God gives us the Holy Ghost as a witness. He gives us someone now who lead us and guide us, give us that direction in life that we need. He said, you brother Nazarenes and pilgrim holiness and that thinks that sanctification is the entire work of the Holy Spirit, it is not. Sanctification cleanses you, but the Holy Spirit fills you. It's not your pastor that fills you. It's the Holy Spirit that fills you. You just got to be a willing vessel, that's all. You just got to accept what he's done for you. Accept the fact that he wants to come and live in you. And open your heart to that. All right, so we come back to our text here now. Just follow me. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Without going into a lot of technical things here, it is the Hebrew word yada, which is a primitive root. You find the root in Hebrew and you work from the root. The root here is the Hebrew word yada. Now, last week I talked about parenting and I had, you know, my fancy Hebrew letters on the screen, right? I had somebody who was fluent in Hebrew here last Sunday. And after the service, I was kind of looking for a little feedback, you know, since I have my yellow belt in Hebrew. And she said, you know what? Now, I know Sister Lael well enough to ask her this kind of question, but she said, your principles were spot on. The idea you were conveying is absolutely right. There's no single word, no single noun called parent in the Hebrew scripture, because parents is a plural word. It takes a husband and a wife, despite what other people in society will say. There are single moms and there are single dads. And you know, a mother who maybe she's divorced or loses a mate in sickness or whatever else and had to parent their children. That's fine. The Hebrew concept, though, is that when God was going to bring forth life into the world, it had a mother and a father. Not two fathers. But a mother and a father. And so, the word that I put up there, and the word for Torah, and the word for teacher, the three elements that I put up there on the board, the principle, she said, was absolutely right, but all the words that you put up there were written in the singular. And I couldn't tell because I can't read the Hebrew letters. I thought I'd done pretty good. Google didn't know really what I was wanting to convey. That's the problem. Without going into, and I don't claim to be have any expertise really in this subject, but I'm learning, and I love it. It just thrills my soul when you discover what God really meant, what God really intended to convey when he used a particular word. And then this word here is what I want you to focus on. In all thy ways, in everything you do, every choice and every decision, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. That is not, in the Hebrew mind, in the Lord's language, it's not just we say, Lord willing, or we pray before meals, or this word acknowledge here is the word know. In all thy ways, know him. In all thy ways, you need to know intimately that God has a desire to direct your path. That God has a way for you to go. And in all your ways, listen, let your ways match his ways. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in all thy ways, know him. Know him first. In all thy decisions, know him. And the mind of God. Know the will of God. In all of thy ways, know him. This word is a very intimate word. It is the same word that we find here in the book of Genesis. It's only used a certain number of times in the Bible. And the eyes of them both were opened, Adam and Eve. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. They entered into a knowing that was beyond just an intellectual, oh, well, I know the sun is 93 million miles away. Now this knowing changed everything. Because now they had come into a knowledge. They discovered a dimension of intimacy and a dimension of life that they had never experienced before. And they were deceived or pulled into that by the enemy. And now they knew something. And this knowing caused them to back away and cover themselves because The day before, they never had this problem. They never had this shame. And all of a sudden now, they're broken into something and they realize they've made a mistake. They went through the wrong door. Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain. Same word. In all thy ways, know him. In other words, this is more than just you being in church. Think for a minute. I need you to think for a minute. Don't close your eyes and do it, but just think for a minute. This is more than just being associated with HBT or associated with the message of the hour or whatever else. He wants you to enter into this kind of a intimate relationship with him whereby he's imparting things to you that he doesn't impart to everybody else, in the same way that a husband and wife enjoy an intimacy that they don't enjoy with everybody else. There's some things that are reserved for just husband and wife, right? You understand what I'm saying? That are not reserved for everybody, despite what the culture may say. It's not reserved for everybody. The sanctity of marriage is reserved for husband and wife. Marriage is honorable, the bed undefiled. And this is the same kind of a thinking here that is being projected to us, that in all of thy ways, listen, if you're going to go anywhere in this life, and if you're going to go anywhere in the next life, you've got to get intimate with Christ. In other words, it's about this encounter I've been talking about. Not just an association with the message. You've got to have an encounter with the God of this message. It's not just a knowledge of William Branham. It's an encounter with the God that he introduced to us. It's not just an awareness that God is real, but I'll tell you what, it's a living interaction and a union with Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of creation has made himself accessible to the bride of Christ, and he's opened the door wide open for you to come and be one with him. And in all thy ways, when you acknowledge him and you enter into that kind of a union, you enter into that level of fellowship, he will direct your path. Now listen, whether you realize it or not, today is the day when we need him to direct our paths. Today is the day when we are at the doorstep, if you like, of the rapture of the church and the change of our bodies. Now is the day we need his leadership. Now is the day we need his tender hand guiding us. Now is the day when we raise our hands that we want somebody to reach out and take that hand and lead us the next few steps of the way. We've done pretty good by God's grace. We've done pretty good, by following the leading of the Holy Spirit and the nudging of the Holy Spirit and, you know, come out of here and go here and move this way and come. And look at our ranks here. We're from everywhere, right? We're from everywhere. It's not like somebody left the church and everybody followed. Look at where we're all from. I mean, everybody's from somewhere different, somewhere odd, somewhere unusual. But somehow or another, someone's been at work. The Holy Spirit's been at work to bring together the body the way that God wants to weave the body together. And here we are. We're not done yet, but here we are. Here we are today. And I believe that's the working of the Holy Spirit. That's the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. But I say this, I believe this with all my heart. This is something that's pulsing in my own heart today. I believe that there's another level of intimacy that God wants to have with us that transcends just sitting in church and trying to stay awake for an hour. I believe it transcends just, being a person who faithfully pays their tithes. I believe we rather need to just stay before him, just to kneel before him and say, Lord, I just want so much less of me and more of you. I just want to have that intimacy with you. I just want you to whisper sweet things to me. Amen. And in all thy ways, when you know him, he will direct your paths. Now, let me give you one example of him directing our paths, okay? One example. Brother Branham said in the breach message, I got about four slides that I want to show you, just a progression here. Seals is broke. Why? Why did those seals come open? To reveal truths. I don't know what's happening here. In the last church age, to reveal these truths. Why? The Lamb broke the seals and revealed them to his church. I'm not pressing the button. I'm sorry. I don't believe Satan wants me to read this quote or finish it, all right? So, hang on. Let's read fast. He revealed him to his church in order to. He revealed his church in order to collect his subjects for the kingdom, his bride. The seals were broken in order to collect the bride for the kingdom of God. He wants to bring his subjects to him now. This, listen, this underneath the opening of the word, this under the open book, this is the bringing of the bride to him. This is the escorting of the bride of Christ to him in eternity. Are we okay with that? If I go back to it, it'll kick me out. This is what that actually is. This is not just, you know, we had Martin Luther and then we had Wesley and then we had Pentecost, and we thank God for all the advances that the bride has made over through the ages there. And they received new understanding, new insight, and they went a little higher up the ladder. But you know what this is? This is the taking of the bride. The taking of the book preceded the taking of the bride in the glory. This is that which is meant for the going away of the church. And it's all hidden, cloaked under the revealed word of the hour, which has now come open. Now, let me just say this. I believe that there is an attitude or a kind of a way that we as God's people, this bride, should act in the last day. I think we should give honor to those that deserve honor. I talked a little bit on Wednesday night about Gideon and how that, you know, he attempted in an indirect way to build a memorial to himself because he wanted to preserve a reputation. We are not memorial builders. I don't think there should be any statues of Brother Branham, like there should not have been any statues of Daniel back in Daniel's day. Because that is clearly idolatry, and we are not idol worshipers, okay? And I hope you understand what I mean. But I will just say this, that I believe there is always a season for respect. There's always it's always appropriate for us to show respect to those that have fought the fight, run the race, paid the price for us to have what we have today. And I believe we should do that. I remember one time years ago, John Wesley and George Whitfield, two great ministers, and Wesley was a church age messenger. Whitfield was an evangelist of world renown, traveled around, came to this country, traveled in the 1700s and was very famous, very popular. But he disagreed doctrinally with John Wesley. John Wesley, they say, had 100,000 people under his ministry, and he was very methodical in how he ordered things. Whitfield was truly an evangelist. Whitfield, just to give you an example, one time Whitfield was asked to preach to the Queen of England. And in order to stage this properly, he rolled in an empty coffin on wheels in front of a little gathering. You know, had a room like this where the Queen was seated and sat and everybody was around him. He rolled in an empty coffin. And he said, "Guess what? All of you," he says, "are going to wind up rotting carcasses in a coffin just like this, unless you repent." That's how he started off with the Queen. Whitfield was that kind of a guy. Rough, bold, stood firmly for what he said, preached in the open air to hundreds of thousands of people in his lifetime. And yet, because he disagreed so much with Wesley, somebody who didn't catch the real heart of Whitfield, said, "Well, I guess we won't even see John Wesley in heaven, will we?" And Whitfield said, "No, I guess we won't." And they looked at him and they're, "Yeah, because we're on the winning side." And Whitfield went on to say, "Because he'll be so close to heaven, we won't even be able to see him. He'll be that far ahead of us." I thought, what a good attitude to have. Because the last thing you want to do is exclude anyone from being there. So here's what Brother Branham taught us. Three slides. God's now, 1953, 10 years before the opening of the seals, God's now loosening up the church everywhere, getting in order now so he can get into the rapture and got to give it rapturing faith before it can go in the rapture. First thing you got to do is loosen up the church, come out of her, my people, and take away the fear that people have that they got to stay in their church. I was in the Catholic Church, and by fear, we remained in the Catholic Church, even though the teachings they had were they were not biblical at all. And we had a revelation that came that broke that hold of fear and allowed us to be able to go follow the light for our day. Brother Branham said God's loosening up the church. That's what God did in your life. Wherever you were, whether you were bound in sin or bound in a religious system, God loosened that up for you to be able to walk away from it without any regrets or fear and follow that light that he showed you. God is still doing that. And the people, he says, are in the spirit of the last days, just like they were in the days of Noah. So God's loosening up the church. That's the first thing. Then he says in 63 in the token, I'm looking for a time of a break forth of the Spirit of God in the last days that we're living in. In other words, we've been blessed with so much, but I'm looking for another breaking forth, for another surge of the Holy Spirit into the church, for rapturing faith just before it comes. So we're thankful for what we've got. We're thankful for being loosed and assembled now under the hearing of the Word. But you know what? There's more for us. There's more for us. Do you believe that today? There's more for us. How do I know that, Brother Barry? Well, because you're still sitting in that old body I'm looking at. That's why. When you're in a different body, I'll say, you got it. Third statement, 1965. I want you to get built up in the faith now. The most holy faith in the holy oracles of God. The faith of this hour. The faith. It's going to take more faith than ever was in any age. For this has to be rapturing faith to be taken up. So God loosens up. God brings us to a greater surge so that we can have our bodies changed and taken up. We want you to believe tonight in all that you've seen and heard in the Word, all you've had preached, signs and wonders and everything else, and accumulate that together in your heart and consider whether it be God or not. And in all thy ways, you know God and He will direct your paths. Is this of God or not? You've got to answer that question. You individually, you young people, you've got to answer that question. Is this of God or not? Or is this just my parents' faith? Is this really true? Or is this what I've just always heard all my life? Is this really true? Or is there a higher truth out there? And you've got to have peace with the answer to that question. You've got to know that yourself. You've got to be able to stand there and say, even if mom and dad walked away, I still believe that this is true because I've accumulated all of this evidence and all of these testimonies and so forth and all the promises that are in the Word of God. And I've just somehow or another, it just strikes real in my heart and I believe it and I say amen to it. That's the kind of enduring faith we want to see. That's the kind of enduring faith that believers have. And so Brother Branham says that the Holy Spirit, he's watching what the Holy Spirit's doing, which is a fabulous benefit of having a prophet in your time, that even if you don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing, a prophet's able to look and say, he's loosening up the church. That's what he's doing. He's bringing more. He's bringing a surge. You watch. Here comes the surge. As if God did that, now God's going to do this. Opening up the Word, the token now. And all of these things are indicators. God's fingerprint is all over this move now. It's not just another move. I listened to somebody today, very well, highly respected minister, out in other religious circles. I just happened to catch what he was speaking about. And he had, amazingly, it just kind of shocked me, but he started talking about Brother Branham. And he said there are some people that have done great exploits, done marvelous things over the years. And he said visitations by God, miracles and signs and wonders had strength and power in their ministry. But he said, in the end, and this is where it always is the catch, he said, in the end, he says, we didn't fully understand really where he was going. And it was not that he was saying it disrespectfully. As a matter of fact, he said it very respectfully. But the revelation of where God was moving that prophet was shut off to him. It was not that he didn't want to know truth, but it was like he couldn't see what you and I can sit here and say amen to. And again, people like that, I think that if there's a place in heaven for people like that. I really do. I don't know how all that's going to work out, but I believe there's a place in heaven. I believe there are foolish virgins, and I believe there are people that are going to make it because of their respect for the Word of God, even if they were not privy to the revelation that the bride has. The bride is not going to be the only people there. Are we okay? I said the bride is not going to be the only people there. I got lots of scripture that'll help prove that. For the people who are the exclusivists, who believe that it's just the bride going to be there, I mean, tell you, I got news for you. There's all kinds of scripture verses that say there's going to be others there. And God in His mercy, and God in His judgment, and God in His righteousness, He knows the hearts of people. And there's some people who are a Lot, and some people are an Abraham, and some people have their eyes opened by God's grace, and some people are right there and don't always see it. And it's not your job to put them out or put them in. Let God do that. God will do all that sifting and sorting and so forth. But I will tell you something. It was just amazing to me. And whenever I hear that, whenever I hear somebody say that, you know, that they recognize the integrity of the ministry of Brother Branham. They recognize the power and authority that he had. And they recognize the true fact that God actually visited him and used him. But yet they don't understand fully what he said, especially in the last portion of his ministry. I sit there and I think to myself, God, what is it about me that you saw that you allowed me to see the early part, the middle part, and the last part as well? The first bull, the second bull, and the third bull. And God, I thank you that you gave me eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, it's just an amazing grace that sings in my soul. And one thing is for sure. If he's here tonight, Brother Branham said, his Spirit will be working with these people. If he's here today, his Holy Spirit's working on you. He wants to challenge you. He wants you to be conscious of yourself, your conduct, your clothing. The things maybe you haven't fulfilled in your life, maybe being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he's here tonight, his Spirit will be working with these people. If he's here, good things can happen. Let's stand to our feet. If he's here, all things are possible. If he's here, all things are possible. If he's here, he's watching you. He cares about you. If he's here, you can cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. This is not, you'll probably hear me say this more often, this is not just about coming to the church. This is a setup by God. He said in the last day that he has prepared a table before us in the presence of your enemies. And he invites you to come and dine, sit at that table. In other words, he prepared a feast for us in the last day and forced the devil to stand there and watch. God's given us access to the tree of life. He's given us access to the mysteries that every other age has been limited to see. And we pull in and we feed on these things and we rejoice over these things. And God makes the devil stand there and watch. He prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. God wants you to have the very best. And he wants you to know that this battle is not yours, it's his. The thing that we need to do is just yield and let go and say, Lord, in all of my ways, I want to acknowledge you. I want to know you. I want to know your most intimate thoughts. I want to know what you really have me to do. I want to know areas of my life that I really need to change. Areas of my life that you're not impressed with. But I also want to know that if I've got gifts and talents that are unused and untapped, Lord, I want to present myself as a living sacrifice. And Lord, just take me and use me. Take me and use me to fulfill your will, to demonstrate the kingdom of Christ in this world. Let me tell you, we're the last light. The last light. The last light before this thing winds up. We're the last ones. What's your plan? Let go. His wonderful way. Let go. And let God have his way. Your sorrows will vanish. Raise it up there. Sing it again now. Let go. I'm going to make it. He's already said I will. I'm going to make it. He's already said that I will. I'll keep on trusting that He's working everything for my good. Beside me, and heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna make it through. Everybody now, just really, I want from your heart, sing it now. Yes, beside me, and heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna make it. One more time. Thank you, Jesus. Sing it now. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would. I'll keep on trusting that He's working everything for my good. Beside me, oh, I'm gonna make it. Jehovah Jireh, He's my provider. Real to us. Let's sing it this morning. Jehovah Jireh, You're my provider. You are more than than enough, so much. We're going to dismiss you in just a moment here. And if you don't mind, I'd like to have some of your brothers just representing the congregation just to lay hands on me and pray as we go today and take off. And just want to be used of God and have His hand of protection today. And so we'll just do that in a moment. Wednesday night, I described a situation, a little baby that was born prematurely, and I said 40-something weeks, and that was a mistake. It was 26 weeks that the baby was born. The mom had preeclampsia. This is a couple from Nigeria who live in Connecticut. And he sent me a report on Friday and said that the mother was sent home. She was fine. It was a very serious situation, and they took the baby quickly. But being at that age, very precarious, they had it hooked up everywhere to, like, you know, trying to make sure that it had a fighting chance. And the report he sent me was that mom was sent home and they're doing well and so forth. And yesterday morning at 4 a.m., he called me and he said the baby is on 100% oxygen. And he said they called us into the hospital. So they went to the NICU unit there, and they were with the boy, little Samuel was his name. And he didn't make it. Around 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, he passed away. And they were obviously broken and just a tragic turn of events. And so, if you don't mind, I'm sorry that I misreported that the condition of it. But if you don't mind just remembering them in prayer, just a young couple. I have one other child. She had several complications with this pregnancy, and finally, little Samuel was on his way. But I talked to Brother Daniel last night, and he assured me, he said, he believed that he's in glory. He's not suffering anymore. He said, no more oxygen, no more problems. And he said, I'll just be waiting for him over on that little side. And so I just would ask you to remember him in prayer. And I'm not sure yet, but they, since I'm going to be out of the country, they asked if Steve might go up and attend the funeral there for them. They don't have a pastor in the church there, so he may do that. So if you don't mind remembering that little family in prayer, I know that they would really, really appreciate that. We're remembering Brother David's mom, who's still in the hospital and just kind of clinging on to life there and fighting with all that's in her, but comes a point in time where it just becomes difficult every day. Every day becomes difficult, but God's mercies are new every day. We're thankful for that. Sister Tracy's here today and tends to her mom, and just no one knows that just that sacrifice that's made. Sister Sabrina, the same thing, and just caring for parents and just a season of life, but we need one another's support, one another's prayers, so if you would do that. I wonder, could we just sing one more little chorus here this evening? I cast all my cares upon Him. And Steve, I don't know if you can slip away, if you can come on up here. Brother Andy, if you would come, and Ben, if you would come, and Danny, if you would come here this evening, and Brother Tom, you make your way, and just come on up, and we'll have a word of prayer. Brother Mike, let's sing this first. I cast all my cares upon You. I lay Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad we serve a living God. God who cares about us and all we go through. I'm going to let you go. I kind of hate to go. I just feel a... still feel a pull. May God bless you. We appreciate you all very much. Appreciate you all for being here today. Lord willing, we'll see you next Sunday. There's no one like Him. No one else can touch my heart like You do. There is none like You. Let's sing it this morning as we close in prayer. There is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. I will search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like You. One more time. There is none like You, Lord. No one else can touch heart like You do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like You. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time in Your presence today and how sweet it really is, Lord. There's no presence like this. And I believe, Lord, it's just a foretaste of glory divine. I pray now in the name of Jesus Christ a blessing over this assembly. And I ask, dear God, that You would minister peace and strength and healing to every individual. That, Lord, every heart might be touched. And that, Lord, You might protect and watch over each one until we meet again. Lord, we know that in this life, there are many questions and many things, Lord, that sometimes happen to us, and often they're unexpected, at least to us, but never to You. And so the very best thing we can do, Lord, is in all of our ways acknowledge You, and You shall direct our paths. And that's a promise we embrace today, Lord, and we're just trusting that You will lead and guide, and Father, that You will bring comfort and answers to questions that lay in our heart. We love You and we thank You, Lord Jesus, for all You are to us. May now You, again, bless the journey, all the connections, bless the people, the business that we have to attend to in Africa, Lord. May whatever we do, may it bring glory and honor, not to us, but to You. May, Lord Jesus, You have Your hand upon this assembly, this congregation, that You might use us as vessels, Lord, to further the business of the King. We thank You, Lord, for one another. Thank You for this time today. Bless my wife, my family, grandchildren, all that are here today. Lord, I just place them into Your care. And Lord, we think of this little family in Connecticut. Lord, just had one expectation that they would have a new addition to their family. But now they're preparing, Lord, for a memorial service. I pray that as only You can, that Lord, You would give them comfort. Because no parent should ever have to attend the funeral of their own child. I commit them to You and pray that You would give them peace and restore one day their joy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all of these things. Amen. And amen. And amen. There is none. Sing it as you go. There is none like You. Oh, no one. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Oh, there is none like you. I could search for all